welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence. And it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
I'm Sean.
I'm back, bitches!
How are you?
I mean, for now.
Well, you plan on going somewhere?
I don't know. I don't know how much fun you were having with your Marvel book.
Oh, I was doing all right.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully I'll...
I don't know. Maybe you want to have fun like that again.
I don't know how you're feeling. Well, you know, we were saying, though, hopefully those will come back, you know, in times when we need them.
Mm.
But, you know, I was keeping the train alive as it was, you know, Jen took a break, you know, just, we kind of had to take a break in general from recording as normal.
Yes.
Just because of the way the house was, and the way everything is, and, you know, we're still dealing with some stuff.
Still dealing with stuff, which is unfortunate, but for the most part, things are put back together, like... It looks like a house again.
Yeah, at least
not a storage unit.
Yeah, there's a new
which
carpet.
Which is what it looked like for a while.
Yeah, there's a new carpet in here. Things are back where they're supposed to be, you know, they should be. Hopefully they won't have to get moved again.
Hopefully.
Because I will not be happy if that's the case.
Yeah. Well, I didn't actually realize how stressed out I was until we moved everything out of the living room.
Why is that?
And then all of a sudden I felt better.
Oh, yeah, that's
and
how...
And I was like, oh, because I didn't even realize that it was affecting me. And then once things were back, I was like, oh, I feel so much better. And I didn't even realize that I didn't feel better.
Yeah, that's my constant...
That makes sense.
Yeah, no, it makes total sense. That's my constant state of being when things are all mixed up like that.
Because for me, it's just something I deal with. And then once it goes away, I'm like, oh, it was giving me problems that I didn't even recognize or acknowledge.
Well, stressing you out
because everything's...
Yeah, there's stuff that's just sitting there just on top of you, or things each other.
It was just a mess. It was a fucking mess.
Yeah.
But it's not a mess anymore, which is good.
No, we're doing our best to keep things in order here. And, you know, I'm glad to have Jen back so we can talk about movies and comic books. Because that's all we're going to do this week. We're going to still keep it a little bit on the... shorter side of things because, you know, we could talk about stuff that we've watched, particularly Suicide Squad, which just came out.
Yeah.
In the theaters.
And just as a warning up front, when we discuss Suicide Squad, spoiler warning.
Oh, yeah. That should be evident in the title.
Just letting you know.
Yeah, but just
want to make sure we say it.
You know, just keep an eye out for that. But, I'm trying to think of stuff I've only been watching, like, my usual YouTubes and my, wrestling. I enjoy my 1999 wrestling, so I've been...
yes. That was a trip yesterday when you were watching it, because just some of the fashion...
Oh, yeah.
...took me back to a time that I'd rather forget.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, every dude had a shiny shirt.
I had multiple shiny shirts.
Oh, I know, everybody. I had shiny shirts, babe.
Yeah.
Me... I had shiny shirts and I had really thin eyebrows and just frosted lipstick that I shouldn't have worn.
Frosted lipstick?
Yeah, you know how that like weird like whitey tinge on that like pinkish lip? You know, it's very 90s.
I think I could envision it.
Kind of shiny. It's very, very shiny, but it's like way too pale.
But you were goth.
Yeah, I was, but it still had that like shiny tinge to it.
Mm.
I mean, usually what I would wear... So the only lipstick I would typically wear, and my boyfriend at the time called it Whore Red, but it was called Gash from Urban Decay, which they still make that color. I just don't think it's the same color. I think it's been reformulated.
Right.
But I used to wear it all the time. I love that fucking lipstick. It was like my favorite lipstick, but it did have that like weird shininess to it that was very 90s.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's definitely some choices going on in those... those segments.
And the hair, there was so much hair.
Oh, yeah.
It was a time that we lived through.
I'm surprised. There's part of me that wants to go back. You know?
And watch it or just live there?
Live there.
Oh, yeah. No, everything would be much better if we lived there. But would you want to go back and know what you know now, or do you want to be completely ignorant?
No, I still want to know what I know now. I want to retain all knowledge.
Okay, but then wouldn't you feel some sort of pressure to, like, fix what's coming?
Maybe not.
Don't you want to warn people about 9/11 if you go back? Like, don't you want to warn people about 9/11? Don't you want to warn people about the pandemic?
I don't think
global warming.
I don't think anybody would listen to me.
You know what? I don't think any. They'd think you're fucking crazy.
Well, I think I was fucking crazy, but also, you know, like, I just feel like people just wouldn't want to listen.
Oh, no, of course not. We had warnings about all of those things that I just mentioned, and, yeah. And we were just like,
Yeah, I mean, literally all that shit, you know, we're just like, oh, yeah, well, that is something, and we don't care because we're Americans. And
like, literally, people were warned about the possibility of 9/11, and they were just like, meh. Like, high intelligence people, they're just like,
I was like, well, deal with it when it happens. Oh, which, by the way, 20 years since 9/11.
Yeah, within September.
Oof. Yeah, I mean, that makes me feel old, but also, like,
that's when everything started being bad. At least in my memory.
Yeah.
I'm sure shit was shitty before then, but I was younger, so.
Yeah, Sugar Ray only had 2 albums.
That's true.
Yeah.
Once he put out that 3rd, it all went downhill.
What's he?
Just Sugar. Just the Mark McGrath himself.
Mark McGrath, who I've met.
Yeah, how'd that go?
He was nice.
Yeah.
I asked him about a song called Disaster Piece that I like from one of their albums, and he said, oh, yeah, that's like our tribute to the Rolling Stones kind of songs. You know? Oh. And I was like, oh, thanks, man. And I was like, I take a picture.
Did you meet him when you were doing like the interview for The Edge or whatever?
No, he was podcasting.
When was he podcasting?
He came in for allegedly with Theo Von.
Oh, okay.
He came in as one of those guys, yeah. And because they brought in some weird dudes, man. That was like I met Lou Diamond Phillips, and
that's right.
The Miz was on that show.
Oh yeah, your buddy the Miz.
The Miz, yeah. I mean, there were some larks. Ashanti was on there. I wasn't around there when she was on that, but Ashanti was on it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, just a lot of like celebrities, you know. It didn't end well. Just not the Ashanti thing, but just like the you know, just the show in general didn't end well. But yeah. You know, that's just what happens.
I was like, oh no, what happened to Ashanti?
No, she's fine.
I was gonna say, I thought she was okay.
She was on a podcast. Mm. No, it wasn't Ashanti. It was Christina Milian.
Oh shit! What is she doing these days?
I don't know. Probably
she had that. Which I have on my Spotify playlist.
What, AM to PM?
No, Dip It Low.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I remember AM to PM. I remember that when I worked in the record store. Yeah. But, yeah, man, the nostalgia factor on some of these things that I watch is rich. So, and speaking of the nostalgia factor, we need to correct this sometime soon. I don't know if it's going to be, probably not going to be tonight.
What, us?
Yes. We need to watch that Woodstock 99 documentary.
Oh, yes, we do.
Because that is a definitive 90s for us. As somebody who, I didn't go to it.
Oh, no.
But, you know, I remember listening to it on the radio.
Yes.
And hearing about the destruction afterwards.
Yeah, that's when shit started to go down.
I think that's when you talk about stuff going bad, like that's when stuff was going bad.
Yeah, stuff started, because I remember they did Woodstock a couple years leading up to that, and it always went okay.
Well, they did it like in 94?
Yeah, 94. Yes.
Why did they do it again? Why did they have to do it again then?
Probably because it was super successful, because I remember watching it on MTV. Do you remember in 94 when you watched on MTV and it was like awesome, and like Green Day had like a mud thing. There was like a mud fight during Green
Day. That's right. I remember Green Day had the mud thing. It was really disgusting.
It was gross.
Because people were eating the mud.
Yeah, but they were having a great time, and like the Chili Peppers came out. I remember that.
Was that the one they were wearing the, maybe this was 99?
They were just wearing socks.
Oh, was that the socks thing?
I'm pretty sure they just
wore
socks.
Came out, there was one where they were dressed up like light bulbs.
Oh, I don't remember which one.
It was probably the socks thing, though. It was probably
94. Because yeah. I very distinctly remember watching it on MTV. And then I went over to a friend's house. And somebody had the Woodstock 94 like soundtrack. It was a double CD.
Mm-hmm.
So it, which was
it on a tape?
No, it was a double CD. But it was the fat, you know, because the fat cases when fat they had case. The two CDs. And we would listen to like the Green Day shit, And they would play like When I Come Around. It was all for, and we would just have like a really great time, like, because I was what, 15, 14, 15? So we were having a good time. And then like 99 comes around and it just like burns down.
Think about becoming a fat CD collector.
Oh, you know what? I can't remember the last time I've seen a fat CD.
I don't think, well, they don't, they can't.
No, I mean like even in like a used store.
Oh, really?
I can't even remember the last time I've seen one.
Man,
but I remember that it was like this. It's like a book.
Oh yeah, no. Back then, it was those were some things, because before the Digipak, you know, where they would kind of consolidate with the cardboard sleeves and everything like that, which, you know, was fine unto itself. But I remember those CDs. I wonder if I just started collecting that, just threw out everything I have now, and just sold it and just started collecting fat double CD cases.
Yeah.
Or sometimes you get the real fat with the triple CDs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, or you could usually fit, well, the double CDs, you could fit, depending on the case, you could fit like more than like,
yeah.
You could also fit like a third CD in there.
I did have some back in the day where it was like four CDs and like one of those fat things. Mm-hmm. But then they started getting like creative. So then it was like a book, like a literal, like a taller book.
Yeah.
Where they were like four. And I had a couple of them. I had like the Black Box, which is like a goth compilation, I think, put out by Cleopatra at the time. I had the Black Box. There was another one, because the Black Box was the fat four set, and then the other one was the tall. I don't remember. I had a shit ton of them. All sorts. Any Cleopatra compilation you could find, I fucking had.
No, I believe it. It just reminds me of that Ted Podberry bit about box sets. He's like, you know, I like to own something from the Oak Ridge Boys, but how about I own something? God damn it. How about I own everything by the Oak Ridge Boys? You know, including all 26 remixes of Elvira. You know. So, yeah, no, I don't. As obviously, we're killing time here.
We're just talking.
We're just talking. Because it's been a while since I've had Jenna on the show. You know, we've done this, and it feels good.
It's been a while since I've come to co-host my own podcast.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's been a while, because I was talking about characters like the Big Man.
The Big Man?
The Big Man. These are all, some of these characters died, and it was pretty cool. The Big Man, and I also talked, occasionally I would open up one of these things, and I get like Phoenix, and it's like four pages. They'd be like, fuck. Because then I have to read. Because I kind of like, you know, I'm keeping true to myself.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
You know, I have to like read the whole thing, but I don't want to. But I have to, because I'm doing it for the podcast.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. So let's take a break, though, and we'll come back and we'll talk about Suicide Squad.
Greetings, guys and ghouls. I'm the Invisible Dan Colon, and this is The Monsters That Made Us. Join Monster Mike Manzi and I on the last Friday of every month as we celebrate all of the spooktacular characters and films in the Universal Studios classic monster series. From The Phantom of the Opera to The Creature Walks Among Us, we sink our teeth into all the gory details as we dissect the films that gave us some of the most iconic movie monsters of all time. The Monsters That Made Us is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For more information, head on over to cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me.
Stand your baby! Fuck that, man. Stand that job. Stand that baby.
I mean, I'll stand sandwiches. You know, I'll stand like meals I've had. Like, yeah, all right. Yeah.
We could bring this conversation to the pod if you want. Talk about standing babies.
Well, why don't you? Well, we're already recording.
Oh, hey. We're back.
So I guess we got, maybe, why don't you explain?
Yeah. So, as everybody knows, I have a tendency to fall down different holes, obsessions. So my current spiral and obsession is Law and Order, organized crime, and I desperately want Olivia Benson and Elliot Stabler to fuck.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's pretty much, I watched it when it premiered. This is when SVU premiered, like even back then, like in 99, I was like, those two gonna fuck? Oh no, he's married. It's okay. Will they, won't they, whatever. And then he left and I didn't care about the show anymore. But now he is back and now they must fuck. Anyway, so there was like, a little, I don't even know if it was related to Law and Order, but every once in a while in the fandoms, and even in the old ones, like in the X-Files fandom, which X-Files fucking premiered in 1993, dude. Mm-hmm. But there'll be like these kids who are like 15, 16 years old.
Now,
who are fans of the show from then, like that they found on like streaming services. And they think it's weird that older people are fans of those things. So they get all pissy about it on Twitter. So apparently like some person, I don't know, I never saw the tweet. I just heard, well, I saw like a screenshot.
That statement you just made unto itself.
Doesn't make any fucking sense.
Doesn't make any sense because people, okay, so somebody born, God, I did math in my head.
Oh, no.
You know,
it's going to be bad, isn't it?
You're like, oh, they're 15 now. It's like, well, that means they were born in like 2006.
Right, okay. Oh, my God.
They were
I'm going to go Midsummer myself.
They became fetuses and turned into babies in the year 2006 when I was 26.
I went to grad school. That was my first year of grad school.
Was it?
Yeah, 26.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Was that the Harvard one?
No.
Oh.
No, the Harvard thing was an extension school, but it was Emerson, but because my program was 3 years, yours was two.
Oh,
so
that
I was
makes
already
sense.
There for a year.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. So 20, oh my God.
Yeah, so that's ridiculous.
But
unto itself, doesn't make sense because. It
makes no sense.
Well, I'll finish this thought, but go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, okay, so just the idea of somebody being like, hey, old person, hey, I'm a 16-year-old or whatever, and
I think it's weird that you like something.
I think it's weird that you like something that was on when you were 16.
Yeah.
And I watched that shit on tube TVs.
Dude, I used to tape.
We didn't have HD.
No, I used to record the X-Files to VHS. So I could watch it again, yeah. And I would label them, and I would have a list in the thing of which episodes, and because if I threw my TV guide away, guess what? I didn't know what they were called. So it would be stuff like the green bug one, like to make me remember what it was, because if I didn't get my dad before he threw the TV guide away, I didn't know what the title of that episode was.
Dad, don't throw the TV guide away!
And of course my dad would listen and would go in the trash. So a lot of times I would have no idea what the title of the episode
was. Dad, I have to read the cheers and jeers.
And if you missed it, you're just going to have to wait for it to rerun. Well, and you know what? If it's something like Home, it might not ever fucking rerun. The episode Home.
Right, the creepy one, yeah.
That fucking thing never reran. So if you didn't see it, you ain't gonna see
it. You had to wait till those till DVDs were created.
No, until like VHS. Sometimes they would release VHS.
Oh, the box sets.
But who the fuck could afford that? Like, I couldn't on my 14-year-old babysitting money. Like,
also, I mean, that's a big commitment getting all those tapes.
Oh yeah, there was no. You think my mother was gonna allow me to bring that many tapes into the house?
I'm anti tape. We can only have 10 tapes in the house.
You know, she'd be like, "It takes up too much space. Look at all this shit." Oh, she would be right.
She would be right because think about it this way: before for folks that watch WWE like wrestling on like all these different streaming services and. Like network, you know, Peacock or whatever. When I was 16, mm-hmm. and I wanted to watch a pay-per-view, I had to first of all convince my father, or convince him that it was cool to buy a pay-per-view,
right?
Which were usually around 20 to 25 bucks.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then if I wanted to see it. Again, I had to watch it when it happened.
Right.
And then I'd have to make sure I taped it if I wanted to watch it again.
Yes.
Because I can't, if I wasn't going to be able to watch it again until WWE released it on home video, which probably wouldn't have been until like 6 months down the line.
Right.
I mean, or at least it wasn't an immediate thing.
Right.
Because they had to do all sorts of, you know, technical shit to it.
Yeah.
Before they can release it to, you know, as a full video release. But I mean, that's it. That was it.
Like, that's how it was.
That's how it was, man. You know, and it was, so for the fact that these kids are just saying.
Well, they're saying that it's weird that people are fans of things. And I mean, especially if you're talking about something, Law and Order has, like, SVU itself, but just Law and Order in general is very old. It's been on. Like, the original one, it's been on forever. And even before that, there was, what, Homicide, Life on the Street?
That's right, yeah.
It was, what, in the 80s?
No, it was 90s.
It was probably 90s. Yeah, you're right. Because that's where Munch came from.
That's right. That's right. They had, we had to wait until Munch was done
with Homicide before he came up to do SVU.
SVU, which was like 99.
Yeah. So that show's been on since 1999. Okay, SVU's been on that fucking long. And then there's these kids being like, it's so weird that, like, old people are fans of them. You shouldn't be stanning TV shows. You should be stanning your job or stanning your baby. It's just like, what do you think adulthood is?
Yeah, right? That's a very good point. As somebody who was a child.
Yeah.
And then became a teenager and then became...
An adult?
A young adult.
Oh, young.
And young,
then an adult.
And then like a proper like grown man.
Yeah.
A grown ass man.
Yeah.
And I've realized that shit don't change.
Yeah, right.
Even though it does.
Well, that I think that's the thing.
Because look, I still love pro wrestling.
Oh, I know.
And I will never grow out of that. But
no.
I also will... You know, being a childless couple is doubly aggressive in the sense that I have to, you know, I could imbibe so much stuff.
Oh yeah, we don't have to worry
without
kids.
Restrictions.
Yeah, because there's no kids.
And I'm an adult. These are kids, you know. But 16-year-old kids who, you know, your only responsibilities are
go to school.
Maybe play a sport, hang out with your friends.
Right. Maybe get a job.
Maybe get a job. Even if you're younger, you know, say if you're, you know, younger than 16 or whatever. But I mean,
yeah, I think it's like it's very telling to be like they don't and I get it. They're young and they don't know, but they have such an odd idea of what it is to be an adult. You don't stop liking things or experiencing new things or finding new fandoms that you might like just because you turn 24. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to stop being a fan of something. That's like literally all of entertainment is based around fandom at this point. Like, Game of Thrones comes on, and what do you think? Like, all the 40-year-olds on their couch are just going to be like, I cannot watch this. I am no longer a fan of things. Like, you know what I mean?
Just somebody sitting there at their remote by them.
Just like, I'm sorry, I can no longer enjoy any sort of entertainment or have any excitement or ship any characters. And you're just like, who do you think, like, writes this shit? Like, who do you think buys these things? It's people who are adults who have disposable income. Yeah,
we got the fucking money.
It's the reason this shit exists in the first place.
It exists for people like us who have the money.
Exactly. So I'm just kind of like,
once you have the money, you have the power.
And then you get the women and the bees.
And the bees.
What is it?
Or he's like,
what was he talking
once
about
you
sugar?
Have the sugar, you have the
I can't remember. Whatever Homer had sugar, like a big pile of sugar that didn't have glass in it or something.
I don't remember. I just remember it rained and it all went away.
Yes, it did.
But, I mean, yeah, speaking of this, like I said, Simpsons have been on since 1990 when we were 10.
We were 10 years old when it premiered.
10 years old. It's still on today.
Yep.
And if some kid's like, oh man, you can't like The Simpsons, man.
I feel like,
you
know, I was literally 10 years old when it premiered.
I was there
about?
When it started.
Yeah. That's kind of the thing.
You want to blame somebody? Blame The Simpsons for being on as long as it has.
Yeah. Seriously.
You know, there's, if you feel
for being so fucking quotable that we literally sit here today, decades after episodes aired, and fucking quote it.
I'd say about 10% of my life is reciting Simpsons quotes.
That's pretty much all
I think you could probably, if you went back, if you looked at my entire life, all 41 years and some odd months, you could say, okay, well, if there's a pie chart,
yeah,
there would be a sliver of it. I'd say about, let's say about 5%.
Yeah.
Like, but it's like, you know, it's something.
Yeah.
That's me reciting Simpsons quotes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just that sliver in there. The rest of it's pro wrestling.
Like, if you looked at my brain, there's a significant area that is like there's Simpsons quotes, Futurama quotes, X-Files references.
Oh, mine.
Drag race references. Like, it's all in, and that's like what, you know, it comes out of my mouth. And
that's what adulthood is.
And then also memes and then like GIFs. Like, and then they just sort of. Yes. Fall out of my mouth. Yeah, so I mean,
this gift fell out of my mouth
on Twitter, anyway. But you know what I mean? Like, that's what adulthood is. I'm like, you don't stop liking things just because you get married and have kids, and that's kind of
especially if you marry somebody that like likes the same shit that you do.
It's also kind of bleak to think that once you hit a certain age, you just don't like anything anymore.
But you know what it is that, and this is the bigger issue, is that I feel that. God damn it. I just hate talking like this, but like kids today.
Nah, I just.
No. Let me say this.
Yeah.
Like youngsters today, young people today, like I feel like maturity, like the actual concept of maturity doesn't occur to them until much later into their adulthood.
Well, I think that is also a spinoff of because it didn't occur to us until much later in our adulthood. So now they have longer.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like it just gets later.
Yeah.
Later and later. Like for Gen X, it happened at this time. For us, it was later. For actual like legit millennials, it was later. And then like Gen Z, they're going to be like 67 before they're actually adults or whatever. Because
like our parents, you know, like it was always a thing where it was a thing where you know, you were a teenager and then you turned 18 and then you were an adult.
Right.
And that's when adult things started.
Right.
You know, and, you know, you had to become, you know, either you went to war or you went to, you know,
the factory
or you did whatever it is.
You got a job. Yeah.
You know, and now that barrier has been pushed back.
Right.
You know, and it keeps getting pushed back because of the things like fucking social media, and you know the fact that they interact, they all since they talk to each other,
because
that's the thing. Before back in the day,
we didn't talk to anybody.
No, we didn't talk to anybody. I was
chat rooms were like a revelation.
Yeah, chat rooms were a thing where like, and I know we're supposed to be talking about Suicide Squad, and we'll get there because it's really there's not a ton to talk about.
Yeah,
but there's enough, but. It's a revelation. Yeah, it was a revelation because I remember like chat rooms or things where like you get together and you're like, oh my God, I'm talking to somebody that is in another state.
Right.
And I'm going to say something stupid to them.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever. You know, oh my God, is that a girl?
Yeah.
I think it's a girl. Oh, hey, how's it going? Hey, tell her, you know, I remember the one time we were at a teacher's house and he's one of those cool teachers.
Oh.
You know, and he was like, he had like, a computer with AOL on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all of us guys on the track team were upstairs on the chat room.
Yeah.
Talking to somebody.
Oh, that was also the thing. It was a group experience because I remember my sister and I would go over to Susie's house and we would all get on Susie's internet account on AOL and all three of us would say type this into the chat.
Yeah.
And it was like a thing that like because we didn't have our own computers.
No.
It was like the family computer.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so but now it's like since you have social media, you can literally fine tune those communications to the most minute details and be as vitriolic or as
sunshine and rainbows
as you want to be.
Right.
You know, so it's really, you know, and that definitely has changed the way people look at maturity.
Yeah.
Man, this is really deep shit.
Is it?
I think
this started out a conversation about Law and Order.
Right, but I mean,
which is a show for old people.
We're taking it back.
Oh, we're taking, but I'm 100% and I really do enjoy Law and Order Organized Crime. I've reviewed it on my blog, all 8 episodes. I think there were 8. I don't remember if there were 7 or 8. So I've reviewed those. You can watch them. you can watch me discuss why Chris Maloney is very handsome. And then, you know, have a good time.
Yeah.
So jensansfield.wordpress.com if you want to read all that.
Yeah, check those out. Make sure you frequent that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And also, since we're talking about things that we do, YouTube, Angry Hero 79, I posted a new video after about a month or so because I didn't have, since I was in Buffalo, I didn't have my computer with me to work on it. So I did open, I posted a, this is a little bit of an older video of me opening up an action figure.
I actually have a question about your, so do you only do retro unboxings?
Typically, yes. But I had the one Iron Man with the hologram head.
Yeah, well, see, that's my question. Did you want to do an unboxing?
Oh, of your Mando?
Of what you bought me.
Of your, well, I mean, I could, but I mean, do you want to do it with me? Because you're the,
I can.
You're the Pedro Pascal expert.
Well, I mean, not expert, but we could talk
about. PhD in Pedro Pascal.
I did not, nah, I wouldn't even say I have a bachelor's at the moment.
You stan him, though.
Do I stan him? I mean, I suppose. I appreciate him.
You appreciate
him. He is my boyfriend. Though
you have watched Triple Frontier multiple times.
Dude, I still love Triple Frontier. I like Triple Frontier a lot. It is the dumbest movie I've ever seen, and I'm just like,
it's a dad movie.
It's a dad for noon movie.
It's a dad movie.
Yes. Dad for noon movie filled with hot men and guns who make terrible decisions, and it's just a fun movie with weird music cues that you're like, oh, so heavy.
That'd be a great way. Is like, what's this movie about? It's about hot men with guns who make terrible decisions.
It's literally what I called it because I did review it on my blog. And that's what I call it. It's a hot men making terrible decisions movie. And then you watch Ben Affleck get shot in the head. Great.
I'm not going to lie. That's kind of a lull moment.
It is, because you don't expect it. You're like, oh, okay.
But he had it coming.
Somebody had to die. I'm surprised all of them didn't die. Triple Frontier, great movie. I would recommend it.
Yes. Yeah. It's on Netflix, by the way.
It is. It's a Netflix movie. Total dad for noon movie. Just zone out and fucking watch Triple Frontier.
But as far as the action figure goes, maybe I'll just do a video on it. I mean, I don't know if we'll get some Star Wars people on there to help people help me talk about it.
Because you bought me the Mando, which was very, I didn't even know you were going to buy me the Mando, and then you told me.
Well, because I've been looking for it. Because it's the Mando that with the helmet comes off.
Yes.
And it also comes with a baby Yoda in his little scooter.
Yeah, it's really cute. I didn't open it, even though it came while you were in Buffalo, because I wanted you to see it, because it comes with little tiny, and they're really tiny. I'm sure if I open it, I'm going to lose them. Little Beskar thingies. And it's got the little tracking beacon for when he was looking for you. I mean, it's got all sorts of little things, and I didn't want to open it because the house was a freaking disaster, and I was like, I'm going to lose everything that comes with this.
No, you're right to do that.
So I haven't opened it yet. So I was going to say, if you want to open it on your channel.
Where am I going to keep this figure?
I don't know. I don't know if I should keep it upstairs. I need to have like a place.
We need to get you a shelf for
because
your...
I have a Mulder and I have a Scully.
You have your Batman and
I have my Batman and Catwoman.
your poor Batman and Catwoman.
What did you do to them?
Well, we know how the Catwoman's arm fell off.
Yeah.
And then Batman's foot fell off.
What are you doing to my figures?
I'm not doing anything. I put them in the box, and they.
Well, he does have
because I had to store them in a bag, you know. And
in fairness,
apparently they're made of peanut brittle because they keep falling apart. I'm like, what the fuck, Kenner? Or whatever it is, Hasbro, Mattel, whatever,
yeah,
whoever did it.
In fairness, those are the animated series versions. And I got them on Black Friday at Jeffrey's years ago.
Oh, that's right. I thought I bought them for you, but
no,
that's right.
I bought them myself because I bought them on Black Friday because I was so excited to get them both. But because they're the animated series, they're the Bruce Timm versions. So their limbs are very thin.
Yeah.
That probably doesn't help.
Batman's very top heavy.
Yeah, he's just like a giant fucking triangle.
Which is a fucking pain in the ass.
And Catwoman she's nothing. She's just a slip of a girl.
I will fix them when you get your get a shelf or something, I'll put them on there. But because
I can have my Mando, and I have my
your Mulder and Scully,
and I have my what's her face from The Craft, my pop figure that you bought me, Nancy,
yeah,
my Mulder and my Scully.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Okay, so Suicide Squad.
Oh yeah, we probably should talk about that.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
We saw it in the theater.
In theaters, which I apparently, so is it streaming on HBO Max?
Apparently it is streaming on HBO Max, which I did not realize. I didn't look to see if it cost you any extra money.
I'm fine with going to the theater to see it.
I mean, if we can, and you know, we are fully vaccinated. So we've been trying to, you know, actually go places now, but who knows if that's going to have to change. But so we went, and we still wear our masks everywhere.
Oh yeah, because
I don't trust chuds.
I don't plan on.
And
not
we have
it anytime soon.
We've been vaccinated since April, and both of us still wear our fucking masks, and we're usually the only people in the store wearing them. But I don't trust the fucking chuds. So, and it looks like I'm wise because now Delta is here and fucking us all over. But so we went to go see it, wore the mask, ate popcorn, put the mask back on, even though the theater was not crowded. There was like nobody there.
No, that's the thing.
Which kind of surprised me.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's a new movie. They're showing it a ton of times. So, I mean.
Yeah, but we went to see it on like a Friday night at like 7.
No, Saturday night.
Saturday night at like 7? 6:30, 7?
Yeah.
So you'd think people would have been there, but there really wasn't that many people there.
No, there wasn't.
Surprisingly. So we did, but we went to see it in the theater, which allowed us to see, which I've seen now twice, the weirdest trailer.
I think what you're talking about.
For that fucking Sopranos prequel.
Ugh.
What is that called?
The Many Saints of Newark.
That's right. What is happening in that trailer? Because Edie Falco, who plays Tony Soprano's wife in The Sopranos, plays his mother in the prequel. And that says something about Tony Soprano that I don't think any of us wanted to think about or, like, contemplate. I'm just, like, really upset. I'm upset by that casting. I get David Chase loves Edie Falco. She's a fantastic actress. Of course you want to use her. But as Tony's mother?
So, just FYI, that's James Gandolfini's son.
Oh, it is.
It's Michael Gandolfini, who I'm assuming
that's
is...
That's his legit son.
I mean, I guess it's his son. I mean...
Is it his legitimate son?
I don't know.
I mean, I've never seen the kid before, so I couldn't tell you. I just... And who knows? He could be a perfectly fine actor. It's just James Gandolfini had a chemistry, had like a presence when he was on screen that not many people do.
Oh shit, Joey Diaz is in this movie.
Well, everybody's in this fucking movie.
Joey Diaz. Actually, there's a lot of Marvel connections here because you got John Barenthal.
I feel like everyone at this point has been in either a Marvel or DC movie.
Yeah, I know. Which is John Barenthal. And then you have Corey Stoll, who was Yellow Jacket, and has Ray Liotta been in a Marvel movie yet? I feel like he
no,
has.
But don't you feel like he should be like?
He could play like one of the like weird spacemen.
I was thinking
monster
that's
guys.
Exactly what I was just gonna say. He should be in like a Guardians movie, and he should be like Ego's counterpart.
He could be like, oh, I'm trying to think. Like he could give him a mustache. He could play the Stranger.
Yeah, he needs to play somebody really fucking weird and cosmic.
Yeah. Actually, I went on Joey Diaz in a Marvel movie now. But now, guys, I saw the in the credits, I was like, Michael Gandolfini. Mike Wonder, I was like, that can't be his son.
Well, apparently.
You know, but I guess it is, so.
I just think it's so weird.
And Carmella plays his mother.
Yeah, and that really creeps me out. Like, that says something about Tony Soprano that he hated his mother. But now we're going into, but he wanted to fuck his mom, and he actually married her double.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ooh. Ew.
Yeah.
Ew, dude. So, yeah. I keep seeing this trailer, and I'm just like, what am I even watching?
Are we going to see that?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like, yes, but I don't know if I want to see it in a theater. Like, if it's on HBO, I'll watch it.
I feel like I should be watching Sopranos.
A lot of people are doing a rewatch, and I feel like maybe it's time for us to do one.
Oh, God.
It's been so long. I know I tried. I tried to... I was not in the right headspace for it. Maybe at like the beginning of the pandemic, I started like, and I only got like 10 minutes into that pilot. And I was like, no, not right now. So maybe I can go back to it. Maybe it was just too much.
Yeah. For everything it's a lot. It's a lot. You know, Tony Soprano is not a likable man.
No, but I mean, I loved that show. I mean, yeah. Who didn't? I mean, it's hard for me to just watch my people just be horrible representations of human beings on a constant basis.
You could have been on that show.
I could have been on that show. I could have been a great extra. I could have been somebody's cousin.
Yeah. You could have been a cousin. You could have been a woman at market.
100%.
Woman at market who bumps into Carmela and she goes, oh, excuse me. So you go, Stugatz.
When did that show? That show was in like the early 2000s?
Early 2000s, yeah. It was like 2006 or 7 when it ended, I think.
Yeah. So maybe like in the very beginning, I could have played like, you know, the girl Meadow picks on at school.
Yeah. Or you could have played,
I could have played so-and-so's daughter, so-and-so's cousin, you know.
You could have played one of AJ's friends when you go to the Mudvayne concert. That's the thing that happened, guys, in Sopranos. AJ Soprano went to a Mudvayne concert. And Meadow Soprano had to, and Jamie Lynn Sigler had to say, are you enjoying Mudvayne?
I never liked Meadow. Maybe if I rewatch it, I'll like it again. I never liked the kids because I do not care. I realize they have children. I'm just like, shut up. I want to see what Tony's doing. I want to see what Carmella's doing.
You want to know what? They're both bums.
Yeah. Oh, no. Meadow was awful. She was a nightmare. Bums. She was an absolute nightmare. I never liked her. Mm. And I didn't like AJ either because he was just like an oaf child.
He was an oaf child. He deserves that title of oaf.
Okay, we're supposed to be talking about Suicide Squad. So,
because here's the thing, you could kind of go through it pretty quickly.
Well, yeah. So we saw that trailer and then Suicide Squad. I will say I enjoyed it.
I liked it too. I mean, as far as comparing it to the previous Suicide Squad,
which I did not like at all.
The Suicide Squad is a better movie. It's an actual movie. It's much more enjoyable in the sense that it pays service to the comics.
Yeah.
And there's characters that, you know, all have, you know, backstories, you know, or at least most of them do. I mean, there's still motherfuckers in there that are just like, because you see the trailer and you're like, wow, all these people are in this movie. And you're like,
nope.
No, they're not. No, they're not. They got paid. They got paid good.
They got paid real good. And actually, that one of the things that I really appreciated about this movie was people actually die. Not just members of the Suicide Squad, because we have like a whole squad at the beginning who basically just get mowed down. Like Pete Davidson's character. I forget who he plays.
Blackguard
Javelin dies. And Javelin's that he's played by that German comedian.
Flula Borg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Javelin.
We talked about Javelin on the show.
Yeah. Arm fall off guy who was Nathan Fillion dies.
BTK or TDK.
Oh, that's his name. I couldn't remember.
It's TDK.
But TDK.
I want to say BTK.
Yeah.
But
he eats it, and which is good because that power looks fucking weird.
Like, I don't know why you would recruit him to do something.
You need him to die.
Yeah, I mean, clearly, I mean, I understand that's why he's there. And also, you know, James Gunn or whatever. Yeah,
Savant dies.
Savant, who's Michael Rooker.
Who's Michael Rooker. With
and you kind of get thinking at first that he's going to maybe be like one of the main guys.
Well, yeah, because they start out with him. And I was like, oh, so he's a main character in this movie. Oh, no, he eats it almost immediately. And he gets his head blown up by Amanda Waller.
Yeah. Amanda Waller, who's great in this movie.
Oh, my God. Viola Davis is so good. And I...
Amanda Waller in general.
Is... I love her so much because she is such a badass, but I do realize she is a complete sociopath.
Oh, yeah.
She is a monster, but I love her because she's just like, takes no shit, gets shit done. And I'm like... Yes.
She's
so good.
Just an aggressively powerful character.
Yeah, she really is.
It's like it's just something about her Not her braggadocio, but her like
her swagger.
Just her swagger and just her like ambition to, or just her drive just to be like, whatever, I'm doing literally whatever the fuck I want to whoever it is. It's just, it's so cool to see like that on screen.
Well, she's such a, she's a really, and I mean, usually you see this in male characters, but she's such a character.
That's like, the thing. It's as if, I mean, because normally it feels
it's
like.
It's usually for men, but she's super complex. She's morally, she's morally flawed because you know she believes she's doing the right thing for the country, right?
Mm-hmm.
Amanda Waller believes the end meets the means, or the means meet the end, or whatever that is.
Right.
End meets the means.
End justifies the means.
End justifies the means. Thank you. Because as long as this thing happens, you know, they go in, they take the records and destroy them from Project Starfish, then it does not matter how many people died. It does not matter that an entire city is almost destroyed, because her goal was to wipe out any trace that the United States had anything to do with Project Starfish.
Mm-hmm.
And she's doing that to protect the country. So for her, ends justify the means. She doesn't fucking care. And you don't usually see that in like a female character.
No.
And her too, like, because they really lean into it in the Justice League cartoon and just how brilliant she is. Because I remember there's that one scene where it's her, Batman, her, and Lex. They're talking about something and they're like, well, there's only like three, there's only like five people in the world who are smart enough to do this, and three of them are in this room. And I can't remember what it's from. It's like, at the very end, like when they're getting together, like Lex is there, and oh God, I have to go back and
this
look.
This is Justice League Unlimited?
Yeah. This is just like at the very end when everybody's starting to like come together to fight.
Yeah.
Just as we're like leading up to that, that's where we get, you know, all that. And we also get Amanda Waller just looking fucking Batman right in the face in that cartoon and calling him Rich Boy to tell him that she knows who he is. Fucking amazing.
Yeah.
So good. Anyway, so yeah. So everybody dies, and I appreciate that in the Suicide Squad movie. I also appreciate that innocent fucking people get killed in this movie, because these people are killers. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, these are characters that are killers, so they're just killing people. Like John Cena and fucking Idris Elba just murder all those dudes in the jungle.
Yeah.
For just because they're murdering dudes trying to get Rick Flag, and people are dying, and there's blood, and there's a dick, and like, oh, and I'm just like, there's actually blood in this fucking movie. People are actually dying, and
dying in horrible ways.
Horrible ways, which you never see in these superhero movies, because it's just like everyone who dies like is off screen.
Yeah.
Or doesn't matter because they've been like taken over by like a Borg or whatever.
Yeah, I thought Idris Elba was good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's always really good and stuff.
Oh, I love Idris Elba. He's fantastic and very hot. I didn't understand his mask, but I don't know a ton about him from the comics.
Yeah.
Because it was like it looked very uncomfortable because it got super narrow on his face.
Yeah. And just kind of like grew on him.
Yeah.
Too. Kind of.
I don't know how that thing works. And then it had like weird, like almost like alien from Alien teeth at the bottom.
Did it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like it was just like, it had like teethies.
I thought it was just like a smooth mask.
It was from like the mouth up, and the bottom looked like a grimace. But again, I don't really know what Bloodshot looks like in the comics.
Yeah, I don't think he looks like that. I think they made him a bit more dark, like grim dark, tones or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, at least it looked like he had a mouth. He had something going on, and I was like, what is happening?
Yeah. That's what I was trying to think of. Like, I was trying to think of, like, so John Cena.
Uh-huh.
John Cena's really talented.
Yeah?
He's one of those guys who, like, as a wrestling fan, you know, I've been very much privy to his entire career.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and seeing it play out on TV and everything, and seeing him, you know, develop and, you know, in different facets of the of entertainment, and he, you know, I have a lot of respect for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just the fact that he worked, you know, so hard, you know, to cross over. Yeah. You know, because I mean, it's something that's like, yeah, I mean, he does wrestling and he loves wrestling.
Sure.
And like, he'll be very, he's very much like, I mean, the person, there's a lot of, he's, I'm sure he's a flawed guy, but he seems like a very like dedicated and, you know, smart guy who genuinely cares about like, you know, doing make-a-wishes and stuff yeah. like that. But also like, you know, the fact that he started out doing movies like The Marine.
Yeah.
And just doing these like action movies that were going nowhere for him. And they kind of had to like shift, you know, him and his management, they had a shift and see about him doing comedy stuff because yeah. he could be a funny guy.
Well, that's the thing. I think he just decided, no, I'm going to lean into the fact that I'm funny. I've got good timing.
He's got good timing, you know. Yeah. I mean, especially as a wrestler and all the stuff that he's done, you know, he does out in front of an audience and stuff that he's learned from guys like Eddie Guerrero and like JBL and, you know, some of these veterans, you know, people that have really, you know, have seen some shit and, you know, he's learned from them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rikishi or whatever. And he was able to find his way back into, basically find his way back into Hollywood. You know, like, it was a comeback, you know, yeah. I think. And, you know, doing the comedies. But, I mean, he finds his niche here being a comedy action hero.
Yeah.
And he really stands out in this movie because he holds it up. He's right there with Idris Elba.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Yeah. It's the two of them, like, going at it.
Or him and not Joel Edgerton, Joel Kinnaman or whatever it is, Flag.
Oh yeah, uh-huh.
You know, I think he played another playing Robo. This guy that played RoboCop in the new.
Oh, I think you're right.
Terrifying RoboCop
I think you're
movie.
Right. Yeah. Oh, but, yeah, that one was upsetting.
But he is, yeah. He was able to hold his own, and you know, just you know, in terms of the action scenes and stuff, you know, he looks, you know, he looks great.
I think.
And but he was really funny. I'm saying, but I just wanted to say, like, he's really funny, and I hope that, you know, as a wrestling fan, I want people to like look at somebody like him and just maybe put an eye towards wrestling and just kind of take a critical eye
yeah.
towards that. Cause I think he's, you know, he represents like the best of what it is.
Yeah. I think too, with John Cena, why he works really well in comedy. And I think you would also see this with somebody like a John Hamm. I think Chris Maloney does this too. They're not afraid to look weird and they're not afraid to look silly.
Right.
And like, John Cena looks fucking ridiculous in that helmet.
Yeah, that's a weird helmet.
It's a weird helmet. He doesn't care. He's going to lean into it. He's standing in the middle of the jungle in tighty whities. They're going to give a fucking close-up shot of his bulge. He doesn't care. You know what I mean? Like, he's not, he doesn't, at least if he seems to care about that sort of thing, it doesn't come across in the movie. Like, you see John Hamm when he was on 30 Rock with the hook hands and like, he doesn't care if he looks ridiculous.
I'm sorry, I just wanted to be like, banjo!
Pretty much, right? Like, just awful shit. But I mean, like, he doesn't care if he looks fucking ridiculous. And I have to give that up to him. Because you would think somebody like John Cena, where wrestling is so image focused.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to look this way. You have to look strong. This has to be this way. He doesn't care if he looks silly.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to lean into it and just go with it. And I think it makes for a better performance.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought he was really good in this movie. Even though you got, like, weird squiggly veins. But he was very funny. I really enjoyed the part where he just, like, deadpans being like, I love peace with all my heart and I will kill everybody I have to get it. I was just like, yes. But, yeah, I enjoyed that. I loved his overly ridiculous gun.
Yeah.
Where it was like that barrel was like
the God killer gun.
Yeah, it was like 2 feet long and yeah, him and Idris Elba just going at it because they didn't like each other because they were basically the same person.
Right.
With the same background. It was good. I was happy to see it. I thought his, you know, little fight with Flag there was great.
Yeah, yeah. There's some really good action in there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some ridiculous action in there,
too. Oh, there's some absolutely ridiculous action.
Just, like, the stuff with, like, Harley.
Yeah.
Like, again, with Harley, like, this is a thing. Like,
I love that she got her, at the very beginning, she was in that outfit from the comics. That, like, black and, that, like, kind of muted black and red with the jacket. She wears that a lot in the comics.
Okay.
And she got that outfit like at the very beginning. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I'm happy to see this.
Yeah. The thing that I always talk about with Harley, it's, the thing with Harley is the same reason I have a problem with the Joker in that I don't really buy them as being as invincible as everybody makes them out to be.
Yeah.
And Harley, I could see more so because she's an actual, because she actually does way more fighting than the Joker does, at least from what I've
oh, yeah. I mean, she's basically, she helps to be his muscle because the Joker doesn't do any fighting. He pays people to fight for him.
Right. And so he does, so she does, you know, a lot of fighting in this movie and she takes on like everybody and beats them all, which
I kind of always thought, and I don't know if it's ever been fully explained and it might be in the comics somewhere.
Well, does she, I mean, I know she has like heightened reflexes, but she doesn't have like.
Well, I was going to say, I think when she got dumped into the acid, she got some sort of like strength.
Okay, I mean, I guess I could buy that.
That's how I look at it. And whether or not that is actually true, I don't know. I've never seen that. I'm sure it's there somewhere. I've never read all the Harley, you know, I haven't read the Harley Quinn oeuvre. Yeah. Because I'm not a huge Harley fan. I do think Margot Robbie does a great job with her.
Mm-hmm.
I like
her.
Yeah,
she's really taken a hold of that character.
She gets it. Like, she knows who she's supposed to be. I liked her in Birds of Prey a lot.
Yeah.
I thought that was a lot of fun. I liked her here. I didn't necessarily think this was the best use of her story-wise because even though I'm really glad somebody in a fucking superhero movie got laid because nobody ever fucks in these movies, you look like golden gods and nobody's fucking? Are you kidding me? Like, everybody should be fucking constantly. Right. Anyway, because everybody has amazing bodies. But so I'm glad she got fucked. I'm glad somebody got fucked. However, I didn't need the, like, she's going to go to this guy's house and dress up in a dress and, like, be his boyfriend. I would have rather seen she gets, he's going to, like, seduce her, and her entire point is to kill him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She does end up killing him.
We didn't need all the.
Yeah. She ends up killing him, but I would have just really liked her to just be like, oh, of course, you think this is how it's going to go. But I'm just going to murder you right now because I'm not going to fall for your bullshit. I think I would have rather have seen that with Harley, but that's okay. It was fine. There was like a whole thing she was doing and I was kind of like, meh. It didn't need to happen until the part where she starts trying to escape.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, I'm trying to think of that as far as the other characters. We spent a lot of time, too, with Ratcatcher 2.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about Ratcatcher, you know, 2.
I am not, I don't know much about that character. I mean, I've heard of Ratcatcher.
Yeah.
But I'm not familiar with his, the daughter of Ratcatcher.
Sure. I don't know anything about her.
And which apparently her father is
Taika Waititi.
Taika Waititi, who's doing the crossover.
Taika Waititi has one of the best careers in show business because he gets to direct whatever fucking movie he wants or TV show or whatever. But then he just sort of shows up in these random cameos to be very funny and endearing and then like gets paid a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
he made like the
good job, dude.
He made like the posters and the, you know, the big credits.
It's because he's a big deal.
But, you know, I mean, he's just in there for literally like 5 minutes.
Yeah, maybe. You know. Like maybe three tops.
Oh yeah, no, he plays Ratcatcher's father.
Yeah, he's Ratcatcher 1.
Ratcatcher 1, which apparently he was a drug addict.
Heroin, yeah. And then he died of a drug overdose.
And he taught his daughter how to deal with rats and which apparently rats there are millions of rats everywhere at any given point.
That was really upsetting. That was really upsetting.
Well, it's really upsetting.
There was
also
a lot of really upsetting things for me at that very end. I was like, oh, no. No, 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 no. Just because it grossed me out.
No,
but I know that was the point. But at the same time, I'm like, ugh, all those fucking rats. So apparently they're everywhere. Gross.
And she could control them just by pointing something. Like she could.
She's got that like glowy
Well, she got this. She has to have the stick thing? And imagining it's connected to some sort of mental waves something.
Yeah, I'm assuming. So she does that. We also got, which I kind of really liked, we got Polka Dot Man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a real body horror take on Polka Dot Man.
Absolute body horror take. But I kind of loved it because I was just like, everybody thinks Polka Dot Man sucks. Right? It's like, and at the beginning, they're like, do you throw polka dots at people? And he does. But when they hit people, they melt them. And that was fucking cool.
I'm surprised. Why did he just do that constantly? Oh. Like if he builds up enough of it, which apparently he keeps constantly building because the idea is that he has
it's an interdimensional virus.
Interdimensional virus that his mom, who works at Star Labs, gave him.
Yeah.
And he builds up all these polka dots that are like glowing lumps in his body. It's really
that's really
fucked up.
It's really great because they start like it's not just that his skin glows. They like get raised in his he gets deformed basically until he somehow like basically throws them all up.
Right. But the fact that he's able to expel them and they are this devastating weapon, it's like I understand why they're taking such precautions with him, but like if he's such like
that's power, man.
It's power. Yeah, it's like it's power. Like, why is he not doing more? Is he like this in the comics?
Right.
Like, have they brought him back? And is he just out there, just like, hey, Batman, Batman? Because Batman can't fucking fight that shit.
Oh no, you would melt Batman.
You can melt Batman, Catwoman, Batman. He Superman and Wonder Woman and just all just stand there. He's like, hi.
Right. That's the thing. I was kind of, and that was sort of disappointing at the end because he gets flattened and he dies, which was fine that he died. But at the same time, it was like, you don't have to have Harley do this whole javelin thing into the eyeball, which was disgusting.
Yes.
You could have just had Polka Dot Man like shoot at its eye. It's literally the biggest part of Starro. It's in the center. It is gigantic. It would be difficult to miss. Melt the fuck out of his eyeball.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
Which would have been sweet, but he didn't.
Wouldn't need all those rats. He could have melted a hole right through him.
Yes, he could. And he melted like one of his legs. I'm like, yeah, but that would be a harder target to hit. His eye is the biggest part of him. Hit it. Hit it now.
Yeah.
But it was kind of cool to see that like weird body horror-esque take on Polka Dot Man.
I do enjoy a good body horror.
Yeah.
Body horror explanation for like superhero stuff. Like it's kind of like the one they did this for the Hulk.
Yeah.
Where like instead of like Bruce Banner getting like the dual personality that's the Hulk and being turning green and strong, like he actually gets like cancer and full of lumps, but he can't. But the government won't let him die because they want to keep experimenting on him. Ugh. It's really like, but it's almost like that's you get hit with a fucking shit ton of radiation, don't die,
right?
Of course,
they're gonna experiment.
Spider-Man, being bit by a radioactive spider, it's like he should end up like fucking Polka Dot Man with fucking lumpy face,
or he should end up like those poor fucking Starro people,
yeah,
who were basically just walking corpses, and then like. Because then when they go to, so you have the Thinker, which I don't know if I loved the whole head thing, but fine. I mean, it looks like he does in the comic.
Yeah.
They go to where Project Starfish is happening, and it's Starro, who had been captured by American astronauts back in the 60s or 70s and brought here. So they were doing experiments on him because he has, those little starfishes that he shoots and they go on people's faces. So they're like, well, everybody underneath those stars are dead.
Yeah.
And then there was that one guy where they had pulled it up. It was just like an open fleshy face with like things. It was disgusting. Did you see that part?
Yeah. When they were in the,
which it was again, another like body horror esque, like it was gross.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So that's just a matter of like, cause I think of the comics, like,
You
can take them off or they fall off or whatever.
Yeah, you can like take it. But in the movie, they were like, nope, you get hit, you're dead. And you're just basically a zombie at this point.
Yeah.
So I thought Starro looked cool.
Yeah, for a CGI starfish monster. Yeah. I thought that was pretty well represented.
Yeah, I thought he looked good. I, again, don't know why Bloodshot, Mr. Cool Marksman, didn't shoot him in the eyeball.
Yeah, he had guns that like
Like that spinny gun thing?
Yeah, becoming bigger guns. And he's just like, I can't hit this.
Yeah, he kept hitting below it. And I'm like, dude, you're like such a great marksman that you literally shot through another guy's bullet about 10 minutes ago. And you can't hit the eyeball. I feel like I could hit the eyeball. And I am probably a terrible shot. I have never shot a gun. But I feel like I could hit that eyeball because it's about 87 feet wide.
Yeah. No, it's pretty ludicrous that they can't, nobody can shoot it or nobody can, like, I mean, like Peace Barker just, no, he wasn't around.
He died. In
dies.
Quotes. Yeah.
Yeah. He, cause there's actually a post credit scene.
Yeah. Where John Cena is in the hospital,
even though he was shot in the throat.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He totally got shot in the throat. I forgot about that.
He gets shot in the throat by his own, because he had the whole thing where it was calling back to, like, he was saying, because he says something like, I use smaller bullets that go through people's
guns. Well, that was the thing. It was like when Peacemaker met Bloodsport, he was like, I can shoot through, I'm such a good shot, I can shoot through a hole you already shot and not touch the sides. And Idris Elba goes, how do you do that? And he goes, smaller bullets.
Even though he's got this gun that shoots these gigantic bullets.
Right. So then at the very end, when Peacemaker and his 2.5-foot barrel gun shoot at Idris Elba. Idris Elba has the smaller bullet that goes right through the center and kills him. And he goes, how'd you do it? And he goes, smaller bullets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And I'm like, you can't hit the fucking eye. You just hit that bullet.
Yeah, I don't understand. I mean, especially if the eye is that easy to penetrate.
It's an eyeball.
I mean, because Harley just dives through it.
Oh, it's so gross.
It's pretty gross.
That was really upsetting. I was like,
eye water.
And then the rats go in there and start eating eyeball.
That had been fun to write.
Oh,
to be like, it's like, all right. And then so like the rats go inside the eyeball. They start eating the eyeball. And then like Harley's in there and she's swimming in the fucking eye juice. She's swimming
in an eyeball with her eyes open. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, what sort of nasty disease did you just get?
Yeah, she should have like some sort of space disease.
There's space eye juice in every crevice now. It was so gross. I was just like, oh God, I can't. It was disgusting. It was so, that really grossed me out. Like, Polka Dot Man body horror didn't gross me out. Harley in an eyeball grossed me out. And then the other thing that grossed me out was just the visual of all the rats running up Starro.
Yes.
Because it reminded me of like when you have sugar ants and they're like, you know, swarming a popsicle a kid dropped. Mm-hmm. And it's just a pile of fucking ants and it is disgusting and moving. And that's all. Oh, it was so gross. It was so gross. I was just like, oh my God. That viscerally upset me.
Yeah.
So you have the eyeball on one hand and like this fucking mass of rats on the other. And I was just like, bleh, bleh, bleh. Like, ooh, it was gross.
Yeah.
Like, I can see a dude's face get blown off, but that grossed me. Yeah,
people's heads exploding and
didn't bother me.
Body parts being decimated.
Nope, didn't bother me.
Doesn't bother me, but like anything like
eye trauma.
Eye trauma, ooh, eye juice trauma.
Nope.
You know, or
a giant pile of rats apparently really upsets me too.
The rats didn't bother me that much.
Rats upset me. I was like, oh my God, that's
so disgusting. Like slugs or something, if she was like slug catcher.
You know what? Honestly, the slugs probably wouldn't have bothered me.
Yeah, I know.
Rats really upset me, though.
No, I wouldn't be okay with the slugs.
Ugh, it was so gross. And I get that's the point. So then they take down Starro, but not before we get one of the Starro zombies, like, looking at Bloodsport and going, I was happy floating and looking at the stars. And you're like, oh, so we're the bad guys in this story.
We're always the bad guys.
So humanity in general, horrible. We are the bad guys. 100% correct. America, the bad guys of this movie, because we're the ones who had Project Starfish and captured this poor thing and left it fucking tied up.
Yeah.
for however long. And I'm like, oh, now I feel bad for this poor alien that was just happily floating in space, looking at stars until humanity comes and ruins it.
We ruin everything.
We really do. I mean, look what we've done to our own planet.
I'm trying to think if I've ever missed anybody to talk about. I mean, obviously, well, was there somebody else other than King Shark?
Oh, I love King Shark.
But was there somebody else? I'm trying to think. I think it was that was it as far as like on this main team. Because there's Flag. Yeah, so there's, okay. But yeah, King Shark, voiced by Sylvester Stallone. What you call it? Played by, I guess, on the screen.
Uh-huh.
Like the CGI stuff, played by Steve Agee.
Oh, okay.
Who was also, I think, one of the guys in the
office. Like Amanda Waller's
crew. Or
crew, yeah. He was like watching.
Which was like a fun job.
Yeah. Just hanging out, doing the computer stuff. They were all betting on who was going to die. That was fun.
Yeah, well, I mean, geez, if you've been working with those people.
Oh, of course you'd be betting on who's going to die.
I mean, of course. But, yeah, King Shark, you know, basically just there for monster comedy relief.
I really like.
But he's King fun.
Shark. I liked King Shark a lot.
He's had some great depictions so far on TV.
He really has.
He was on the Flash TV show.
He was.
I don't remember much about that, but I obviously
remember him yelling like, I'm a shark or something, but he died like almost instantly, didn't he?
I don't remember.
I feel like he showed up at the end and there was a real quick fight and it was over.
Yeah, I feel like he wasn't around very long.
It wasn't what I wanted from King Shark. The Harley Quinn cartoon gave me really a lot of what I wanted from King Shark because he's just like a hacker wearing shorts.
I just love his little tiny glasses. He's voiced by Tom Ron Funches.
Good.
He's like, how y'all doing?
Yeah, I loved that. I loved this one where he's just like, hand, you know, he's just funny. But I also really did enjoy that scene where he like is in the Starro house. I forget what that thing's called. It has a German name and I can't remember.
Yeah.
And he like goes to see like this aquarium. It has all these like cute little sea aliens.
Yeah.
Like little sea alien things. And they're like all his friend. And it's so cute and adorable. And he's so delighted. And then they're evil and they eat him. They try to eat him.
Yeah.
And I felt bad for King Shark because all he wanted was a friend.
He just wants friends.
He wants noms and friends, and that's all King Shark wants.
Yeah. So, you know, he does a lot of eating people, and there's a lot of it where he's just like chomping on people, but like just kind of like casually eating them. Which makes me laugh. And then he makes a little peacemaker bomb and he's like, I made this for you.
Yeah.
He's trying to be friends.
He wants to be friends.
And it's Sylvester Stallone being like, hey, hey, yo.
And Idris Elba was friends with that rat at the end.
Yeah,
see, the one rat was fine. It was the mass of rats that creeped me out.
Yeah, no. One rat's fine, you know, because you get like a little ratatouille kind of.
It was really cute. He had a little vest. A little rat vest.
Rat vest.
That was cute.
I just enjoy everybody being like, is that rat waving at me? there's a lot of that.
That's right.
A lot of like, what's that rat doing?
Yeah.
But
I did, again, there was a dick in this movie because there's one dude who gets just totally like murdered. But he's like gets up and he opens his little blinds in that little jungle place.
And he's Donald Ducking it.
And he's Donald Ducking it or Winnie the Pooh, and he's just wearing a t-shirt and no pants, and he just gets murdered and his dick flops off and he just dies.
Wait, did he get shot in the dick?
No, he got shot in the chest, but you watch his dick go, and then he's...
Oh. Oh, yeah.
That's a penis.
Surprise, they didn't shoot his dick off.
No.
Surprise, that would have been the thing.
I bet they wanted to.
They probably were like, you know what, we're going too far with this. Yeah. Even though we're literally shooting people in the face and their heads are exploding and everything like that.
It was very funny.
Yeah. But you know what? Suicide Squad, good movie.
I enjoyed it. Yeah,
you know,
it was fun.
If you have HBO Max, watch it. You know, I mean, you can't do much worse.
Yeah.
I mean there's much worse superhero movies on there, you know, like New Mutants.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you had to pick between the two, definitely pick the Suicide Squad.
Oh, yeah. Please pick Suicide Squad. It was good.
The Suicide Squad.
I'm sorry. The Suicide Squad. Yeah, the other one's not good. I didn't appreciate the other one, which we know because we've talked about it here. But this one I liked. I thought that was fun. However, it was, you know, you still, Captain Boomerang. Was he played by Jai Courtney in both?
Yeah.
He gets murdered.
Yeah, he gets murdered.
Like, instantly. Rick Flagg was played by the same guy in both.
Yep.
Harley's in both. Amanda Waller's in both.
Yeah, I think that's about, I'm trying to think. I feel like there's somebody else that we might be forgetting, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was fun.
Yeah, good flick. Definitely check it out if you if you're so inclined. And I guess that's about it for us. Covered a lot of ground here today. I'm proud of us.
Yeah.
I'm glad Jenna's back.
Yeah.
Next week we'll talk about comics. We'll have a comic to talk about. I have some stuff pulled aside for us to cover. Mm-hmm. So we can dive right into those. And get back on track with those comics as you guys were probably expecting. But yeah, no, it was just, we definitely felt like it was, we needed to talk about the movie and just catch up.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing today. But thanks for listening, folks. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at AngerHeroSean.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram. Find the show on Facebook, Worst Collection Ever, and email the show, worstcollectionever@gmail.com.
And please rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts. And also, I've been trying to get our show on other things. And you can also find our show on, I'll try to do each episode, something on G Potter.
The fuck's that?
It's a podcast service.
Okay.
Where you can listen to our podcast. G Potter.
G Potter?
G P O D D E R.
G Potter?
G Potter.
G Potter.
G Potter. So if you're on G Potter, which I think I've seen people like it on our stats, it tells you like, you know, it's like who listens to something where.
Oh.
And sometimes you'll see like random like things that people are used that people apparently listen to our show on.
Oh.
So it's pretty
well. At this point, anything's got to be better than the fucking iTunes podcast app that they fucked up again.
Yeah. Well, actually, the numbers, I guess something was going on with the numbers recently where there was a bug that the numbers were
all jacked up.
So,
well, whatever they did to like, so you know, I listened to that RuPaul Drag Race recap podcast. And you can set it up so it's almost like a Patreon where you can, like, subscribe and pay money.
Yeah.
But doing that means nobody can download your free episodes.
That's so stupid.
At least at that point, like, when it first came out. Because then that's what Joe Batanz was just like, I don't know what the fuck happened. I'm sorry.
Like, so they're doing the subscription model?
He was going to. He was going to. Okay. So, yeah, he was going to do it.
What a bummer.
And then he, like, found out that it just made everything subscription, and that's not what his intention was. So he had to like back it up and say, sorry, never mind, because it just like locked everything.
No, this is a free podcast, guys.
Yeah, oh, free podcast.
Free podcast. Thanks, guys, for checking us out. And AngryHero79 on YouTube. Check me out there and Jen's WordPress.
JenStansfield.wordpress.com.
That's about it. So once again, folks, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again next time.
Bye.